Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. I am live in Southern California. Never expect to see a day like the one we had yesterday, so I know we've got a great show for you today. Let's get at it. Broadcasting from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studio. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. I say you never expect to see a day like that, but not the end of August, not towards the end of summer, but it was a wild, wild day. And I've got 3 hours to break it all down, so that's exactly what we're going to do. As it relates to you, we've got three interviews like we typically do, but not until the middle of hour number two. So we're going to backload this thing. Best way to get through, best way to participate is to do it early. Come in right now, 1-800-636-8686. I've done this long enough to know. You have been on Twitter long enough to know that's the best way to go. Just fire it up Twitter. Hit me up on Twitter. It's the best way to get to the program, easiest way to get on the air. In fact, get right on the phone. Get into my phone. When I leave this studio, you can still find me. Follow me around. Hit me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Email me between the hours of 9 and noon Pacific at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. I'll be totally transparent. I don't check that email off hours. I'm not at home checking the Rome at Habitate.com account. I will check my Twitter feed, my Facebook page, my Instagram page. I'm not checking that email. That is the oldest of the old school. Take advantage of that while you still can, but do it between the hours of 9 and noon. In terms of interviews, coming up in hour number two, Wyoming Cowboys quarterback Josh Allen, one of the best in the country. Josh Allen coming up in hour two. Tyrann Mathieu, Arizona Cardinals DB, top of hour number three. Chad Bettis has been reset. Rockies pitcher in the third hour. So three really good interviews, but not until the middle of hour number two. Right, so the big question this morning is, where the hell do I start? Because that was a hell of a Tuesday afternoon and evening, was it not? Yesterday was supposed to be about Connor and Floyd making their official arrival. But that was overshadowed by the report that the Cavaliers and Celtics were talking about a Kyrie for Isaiah trade. The two best teams in the East trading all-star guards. No way something that crazy would go down, right? But then it did. And then it was promptly blown right out of the water by John Jones failing a drug test again.
We were notified by the United States Anti-Doping Agency late this afternoon of a potential anti-doping violation of John Jones in a sample that was collected July 28th. So the day before UFC 214, my understanding was the sample was collected in the hours after the weigh-in. So that would put him in an in-competition period under the program.
That was UFC's VP of Athlete Health and Performance, Jeff Nowitzki. So it was all about that trade. And then suddenly Kyrie in Celtic Green was like the field in the 73 Belmont, and the John Jones flaming train wreck was Secretariat, pulling away from everybody else. I mean, there are so many different places to start with John Jones. But why don't we start with the initial report from TMZ that he tested positive for the anabolic steroid Tyrannobol as part of a drug test that was administered after the weigh-in. That's right. The John Jones, who failed a PED last July and was suspended for it, failed another one this July. The same John Jones who was saying right before the fight that, quote, "There will be no excuse for me winning, but my hard work, my heart, my faith, and my belief. I am so excited that USADA is full intact," end quote. The same John Jones who tweeted on July 21st, "Daniel says the only reason I defeated him for the first time is because I must have been on steroids. Wonder what his excuse will be this time." The same Jones, who couldn't wait to tell everybody he was clean, was allegedly dirty as hell, as he said and tweeted all of that. And then came the statements, of course. There was the UFC statement. It read in part that USADA, the independent administrator of the UFC anti-doping policy, will handle the results management and appropriate adjudication of this case involving Jones as it relates to the UFC anti-doping policy and future UFC participation. Under the UFC anti-doping policy, there is a full and fair legal process that is afforded to all athletes before any sanctions are imposed. End quote. Let me translate that for you. he's most likely lost his light heavyweight belt, but locked down the title of biggest fraud ever. Greatest talent MMA has ever seen, and the biggest bust it has ever seen. Cocaine, hit and run, tested positive for a banned substance last year, tested positive for a banned substance again this year. So what's that about? Was he cheating all along? Or did he just not have the confidence that he could beat Cormier without taking anabolic steroids? Allegedly, reportedly, probably, almost certainly. Why would you give this guy the benefit of the doubt, Ali? I mean, whatever happened to the GOAT? Whatever happened to the GOAT? The guy who Uriah Faber glossed, the Michael Jordan of MMA, the guy who was on his way to meditate before his first bout and stopped a robbery in process. Remember that? Chased down the robber, restrained him until the police arrived. This is that same guy. Remember when that guy did that? And then he won the title that night. The guy with the Nike deal, the crazy skills. He had so much it. So much it. He was full of it. All right? And now he's done. Probably and most likely. Dana White was speechless when the news came out. Dana said, quote, "I don't even know what to say. And I always know what to say." Yeah, well, Jones and his camp had something to say. They always do. They dropped this statement. Quote, "We are all at a complete loss for words right now. John, his trainers, his nutritionists, and his entire camp have worked tirelessly and meticulously the past 12 months to avoid this exact situation. We are having the samples tested again to determine the validity or source of contamination. John is crushed by this news, and we're doing whatever we can as a team to support him." You know, I tweeted this last night, and I want to repeat it here. John Jones has a hell of a lot of problems for a guy who has never done anything wrong. Ask him. I mean, this has got to be, right, the most unlucky guy ever. The unluckiest guy ever. Bleep just keeps falling right from the sky, eh, John? Listen, he is entitled to a full and fair process to hear this all out. But to hear him tell it, he is just the unluckiest guy ever. Accidentally failing not one, but two drug tests? I mean, there's bad luck, and then there's John Jones luck. But according to Dana White, this might be the very last that we see of Jones.
If this ends up and he gets, and it ends up, getting two or three, it might be the end of his career. So to talk about his legacy, I mean, that's probably the end of his career. I mean, how old is John now? 30?
30.
Yeah, 33, 34, trying to make a comeback again. And you look at what could have been and what he could have done, and it's sad.
Right, so listen to Dana White. Point being, 33, 34. What's that sound like? It sounds like, because he's a repeat offender, he could be looking at 2 years or 3 years or 4 years. I know this. It's more than 1 year. They already hit him for 1 year. And then Dana, speaking of Dana, when we spoke back in November at the Sirius XM Town Hall, he told me he was not sure that he could trust John to headline a card once again until he consistently gets back on track.
I would never take the risk of headlining a show with John Jones again. I'd put him on the card, but I wouldn't headline with him until he consistently gets back on track. Millions of dollars are spent on this. And for a card to fall apart, you know, how many cards have fallen apart because John Jones, you know, gets in trouble for something? So, no, I'm not at that place with him.
Yeah, well, something tells me this failed drug test, if that's what that is not going to help that. It happened again. So to bottom line this thing and to tie this thing up, this dude has turned self-destruction into a cottage industry. He's cornered the market on destroying himself. Think of a way to implode, and Jones has done it. Criminal behavior, check. Recreational drug use and partying, check. PEDs, check. The old rap was that the only person who could beat John Jones was John Jones. And at this point, John Jones has taken a flamethrower to John Jones. He's absolutely destroyed him and destroyed what could have been the greatest MMA career ever. Instead, we're left to wonder how much of it, if any of it, was real. That to me is key. How much of that was real? Because as good as he was and as athletic as he is, and he might have been the best ever, can you honestly tell me how much of that was clean? How much of that was real? I've got no idea, and neither do you. This is a guy who used to talk about his legacy and how he wanted to go down as the best ever. Well, you are now, John. You are the greatest. The greatest bust ever. Hope you're proud of yourself. That couldn't be any more disappointing, yet not surprising. 1-800-636-8686. I spent almost the entire open on his meltdown. Your thoughts on that, your reaction to it. The only thing less surprising than John Jones being in that position again is Daniel Cormier handling it with the utmost class again, which he did, which I'll get to a little bit later on. And as I mentioned, it was a wild, wild Tuesday. I mean, that should have never led that show. When that trade went down last night, all I could think is I could get 3 hours out of that trade alone. It didn't even leave the show. John Jones did. But that trade was amazing. I mean, insane, impossible. Lots of different words used to describe that trade. Yeah, but let me read a tweet to you about the one word that will not be used, that cannot be used. This comes from respected jungle historian Steve in H-Town, a.k.a. The Nut, Stuck Nut. He tweets at Jim Rome, anytime Cleveland and Boston are mentioned in the same headline, you are required to reset the hashtag Bohica call. Rules are rules. Yeah, no, Steve, those aren't the rules. I set the rules here, not you. And if you were anyone other than you, if you were anyone other than Steve in H-Town, you would be Steve in Blockedville. So no, that's not the word that I'm going to use to describe that trade. But there are other words, and I'll get to that later on too. Email number one. Rome, I don't think I've ever been as disappointed and disgusted by an athlete as I am by John Jones. Jones doesn't respect his bosses, his fans, or himself. He clearly doesn't give a damn about his own career anymore, so why should we? War the 837, Dan in Denver, RTN. Wait, what? A straight take from Dan. I mean, that's all true what he said. Before I go to break, let me just pose this question. Why? Why? That guy of all guys, why would he do that? After already testing positive and missing a year of his career, why would that guy, arguably the best the sport has ever seen, why would that guy do it? Was he that arrogant? Was he that stupid? Was he that convinced that he could beat the test? Was he that convinced that he couldn't beat Daniel Cormier without cheating? Why would that guy do that? Why would he take that risk? What do you think? Try and get inside that guy's head for a minute. What was he thinking? Dear Jim, we are absolutely shocked that John Jones tested positive for steroids. Sincerely, Fatso Rose testing positive for cake. Mrs. Alvin testing positive for pregnancy. And Line 1 testing positive for Josh in Detroit. Signed, Den Lusks, positively emailing the show. Let's check. Nope. He did not test positive for Line 1. Josh is not there. War Adam Hawk deking CBS's drug and vape testing procedure by using the Tiger Woods Jumbo Wizinator. I see what you did there, Den Les. It was really lame. Really, really lame. In addition to that, Jones, my thoughts on Daniel Cormier. I've got lots of different takes on the trade, which I'll get to later on too. Twitter comes back to bite once again. You know how I always say, Twitter is a loaded gun. Be careful what you tweet. Also, be careful what you've already tweeted. It comes back every single time, and it has again. That's all of that still ahead. I've got Josh Allen next hour, Tyrann Mathieu in the third hour, Chad Bettis also in hour number three.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
It's an ATV Day. Ask the Pros, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Submit your question to me, because you know I'm going to read one later on. Go to CBSSportsRadio.com/AskThePros. Don't do it on Twitter. Do it right where I told you to do it, or it's not going to get read. And in the meantime, summer heat can cause your battery fluids to evaporate. By now, you know that. Get your battery tested for free. If you need a new one, the professional parts people there will help you find the battery you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. It is fight week, and apparently this lady clone is ready. Romers, let's kick this hump day off right. Here is my take on fight night. I'm predicting the real winner will be me. I'll be partying balls all day and night, no matter how the fight goes down. I can't lose with that strategy. War Lady freaking party clones. Kay Savage in Texas. She's back. So if Danica's not the queen, Kay Savage is. If Kay Savage is a queen at all. We really don't even know. We don't know. There's always been that great conspiracy theory that Caitlyn is not Caitlyn. It's just somebody pretending to be Caitlyn. I don't really care. I don't know and I don't care. I just know that whoever sends me those emails, they make me laugh. They're pretty funny. So whoever that is good content. Content is king. I'm team content. So Caitlyn, whoever you are, go ahead and go party balls all day and night, no matter how the fight goes. And you're right. You can't lose with that strategy. And if you do that, you will win. Fight night's coming up. Are you getting the fight? Who do you like? What's going to happen? I thought that Dan Wetzel had a really good piece on the fight. Great, great columnist for Yahoo Sports. He posed the question, and I think really he's one of the only guys doing this because although there are people that are taking Conor McGregor, I think most think that he's got no chance at all. So nobody's really taken the time to think about, well, what if he wins? What if he wins? It's long been, what's he going to do after this fight? The presumption being he's going to lose. If he's going to lose, what's that going to do to his reputation and his brand? Or is the guy going to make enough money, like bleep you money, that he can walk off right now? Wetzel posed a really interesting question. Yeah, but what if he wins? What if he wins? He's already got a hammer in his hand. He's already got crazy leverage just by being in this position and banking 100 mil. But could you imagine the position he would be in if he wins? So Wetzel's point was, if he wins, he could probably demand to fight the winner of Canelo and Triple G, which is really hilarious. You imagine that? Like, hey, by the way, I'm not even an MMAer anymore. Now I'm the top of the boxing world. And not even the top of the boxing world, but the top of the world. The top of the world of sports. The biggest thing in the world. And then all of a sudden, this guy's going to decide who and when and where he wants to box. But of course, he's got to win. He's got to win, and I still really don't see that happening. But that's a pretty interesting thing to think about. He could get the winner of Triple G and Canelo. Let me tell you about Conor McGregor. If Conor McGregor could box professionally for the first time and beat Floyd Mayweather and parlay that into a fight with the winner of Triple G and Alvarez, then he really is the biggest thing ever. That'd be the greatest sports story by far in the history of sports. All right, so if you want to talk about it, what do you think is going to happen in that fight? Or instead, are you going to approach it like Caitlyn Savage, that you really don't care how it goes down? You're just going to party balls all day long. So either way, you win. As far as the trade, let's go back to that trade for a minute. So Cleveland sends Kyrie Irving to their biggest Eastern Conference rival, the Celtics, in exchange for Isaiah Thomas, Jay Crowder, highly touted big man, Ante Zizic, and Brooklyn's 2018 unprotected first-round pick. It is rare to see two All-Stars at the same position get traded for each other, let alone in conference, and between the top two teams in that conference. And yet somehow that's how it went down. Somehow. And this to me is one of the biggest surprises. Somehow Danny Ainge finally pulled the trigger on a deal that involved those legendary Nets picks. And after not going for an elite forward, Boston ends up with a star point guard.
Very difficult day. And at the same time, you know, a very exciting time for one of the best offensive players in the league, an NBA champion, an Olympic champion, an all-star, and with some of his best years ahead of him. Acquiring a 25-year-old perennial all-star, a player that, you know, fits a timeline for us. And is a fantastic offensive player. He's one of the best offensive players in the league. You have to pay a heavy price.
And he did. And that's what blows me away about that trade. I mean, I got to admit, I've been pretty critical of Danny Ainge for not making moves, for not getting it done, for stockpiling all these assets, and then not making the deal. I have been critical of him of that. So I'm shocked. I mean, this guy guards those assets like nobody's business. And look what he just gave up. I mean, he gave up a hell of a lot. Cleveland did very well in that deal. He gave up a lot to get Kyrie Irving. And when you give up all that he gave up, including that draft pick, which might have been as good an asset as any, it tells you how much he thinks of Kyrie Irving. Not only how much he thinks of Kyrie Irving, but the fact that he thinks he's going to be there for a while. So they get younger at the position that Thomas played. They probably were not that excited about re-signing Thomas to a max deal anyway, something that Thomas is on record as saying that he thinks he deserves. And they got Kyrie. And they get to turn Kyrie loose with Gordon Hayward under Brad Stevens, which to me is fascinating. I mean, what a 24 hours for Kyrie. First, there's the eclipse, which is kind of a hard concept for flat earth truthers to wrap their minds around, if he really is a flat earth truther. Then he finds out he's going to the Celtics. And if I were him, I'd be pretty pumped about that. Number one, he gets away from LeBron, which seemed to be a major priority for him. Number two, he's playing for Brad Stevens, which would be a major priority for anybody. Third, he gets a really nice chance to see LeBron in the conference finals and then settle some scores. And if you look at the group that Ainge has assembled, I mean, he definitely has revamped that entire team, but look at what he has. Kyrie, Hayward, Al Horford, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum. There is some serious potential for both the short term and the long term. You know, in Ainge we trust. A Celtic fan? And then you've got the Celtic side of the deal. I think that's a great move for Cleveland. A really good move for Cleveland. And I want to get into that when we come back. All right, so a quick timeout right here. When we come back, we pick up the Cavaliers side. And then the most important question of the day, obviously, did they do enough to keep LeBron in Cleveland? Is LeBron going to look at this deal and say, this is where I want to be. I don't need to go chase that ring someplace else. We've got the right pieces in place. So my thoughts on the Cleveland side and whether or not they did enough to keep LeBron right where he is. Phone lines are open. Josh Allen, Wyoming quarterback, coming up next hour. Tyrann Mathieu back on the program, hour three. Chad Bettis back, also in the third hour. Right now, I've got a sports update. Like I said, a crazy, crazy day yesterday. Here's a recap of that and what's going on right now. Andrew Bogish is all over it.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I dropped some big news in the jungle earlier this week. Next week, early next week, I'm debuting a brand new podcast. It's not like the one we have right now, which is repurposed, which is a cut-down version of the Daily Jungle. This is not a repurposed or repackaged podcast. This is fresh, original content. Content that you have not heard yet. Content that you can only get in the new podcast. Content that I'm not doing on the program. So get ready. The all-new Jim Rome podcast drops on Tuesday, August 29th on iTunes and Google Play. That is next Tuesday, so be sure you look for that. Lots of John Jones reaction as I double back to that. SA Sports Honk tweets, Jim, is it just me or does John Jones have a drug problem? Sincerely, Tiger. Mike D for three tweets. What's the big deal about John Jones? It's not like he was drunk. Signed, Tiger. Sir Walter City on Twitter. Jim, someone needs to tell John that he has a lot of problems because he makes a lot of problems. Signed, Patrick Ewing.
Hey, John. Time to meet Mr. Rome.
Hey, John. Hey, Pat Ewing is the head coach at Georgetown. You know that, right? Fake Kellen Winslow tweets, no, Jim. John Jones is not the biggest fraud in sports. That distinction belongs to me. Signed, Hugh, no longer in Oxford. Hugh didn't have a real good day either. Hugh's lucky that everything else that happened yesterday, or we'd be focused on all the strip clubs, or check that, escort services that he called. I was thinking about strip clubs because Floyd Mayweather was in one of his strip clubs. He owns a strip club. Was in his own strip club at 3:30 in the morning, the week of the fight. And apparently not partying, but just, quote, watching over the business, tending to the shop. And when Floyd's in there, he's able to charge a cover charge, reportedly of $50. $50 to get in, two drink minimum as well. So they're making money. They're making a lot of money. So apparently he's in there every single night this week. as a draw to get you to go in and drop that $50 cover charge. Look, it stands to reason that all the vendors and everybody in Vegas with something to sell doubles down, triples down, makes crazy, crazy money the week of a fight. Nobody more so than the fighter. But the fighter is also a business owner, so Floyd's in a strip club. Tells me a couple of things. One, he's not going to leave any money on the table. Two, he's pretty freaking confident. If this guy's in his own strip club at 3:30 in the morning, and he's in that club every single night, the week of the fight, he's feeling pretty confident. He's feeling pretty good about himself. Dear Jim, it's cool if Bones Jones is stripped of the belt, as long as Dana doesn't chuck his roids, coke, or beer into a lake. Signed, St. Petersburg PD. That was from yesterday. So you're probably asking the question, why haven't they stripped him? TMZ initially reported yesterday that they stripped him. It's because he gets his due process. He can test the B samples. He can appeal. He'll get his due process. But it sure doesn't look good. You know, one thing for John Jones to take a fertility drug or to take a drug and say, you know what that is? That's just like Cialis. That's sexual enhancement. That's not a PED. That was a generic sexual enhancement pill. My bad. I never bought that to begin with. I never, ever bought that to begin with. Number one, I don't think that's what that was. And even if that was what that was, you're a professional athlete. You're responsible for everything that goes into your body. I don't care what your intent is. If you did it, you pay the price. And he did. Now, go ahead and explain an anabolic steroid to me. Do you know what Tarinabol is? Do you know what guys use that for? That is a hardcore roid. Hardcore roid. Helps you to recover quickly, stay lean, get stronger, not retain all that water. Hardcore roid. East Germans on this. Even better than East Germans. You know what you should do? This is a fun little game. I did it myself. Go to YouTube and pop that in, and then look at all the crazy roid heads who come up and talk about it. So I'll tell you what you need to know about that drug. So how you explain that away, John? Now what? It's just a sexual enhancement pill? It's not. Hardcore PED. RL49er3 tweets, hey, Jimmy, I can't believe the stones on Jones for failing on his test. Signed, Rafael Palmeiro, Lance Armstrong, and GED holders. You're going to group GED holders in with all that? Really? That's that offensive to you? You consider a holder of a GED as much of a cheater as Lance Armstrong? Or Rafael Palmeiro, the guy who shook his finger at everybody? I don't think there's any GED holders walking around shaking their finger at other people holding on to diplomas. Hey, I've been covering this for how long? Great, they got a GED, got the equivalency of the diploma. Who cares? The hell does that matter? And by the way, it's not even where it appears necessarily. There are extenuating circumstances for a lot of people holding on to GEDs. At Talk MMA tweets, Rome, I want to add that Jones was tested 8 times during his training camp, all which came back negative. Jones has a lot at stake here. 2, I find it hard to believe that Jones would go through an entire camp and knowingly take something illegal right before historical comeback. All right, fair enough. At Talk MMA, how the hell did it get into his system? How? So what are you saying? Somebody planted that? It's a setup? When he was sleeping, somebody slipped it into his bloodstream somehow? All right, so maybe it's a tainted test. Maybe. Here's the problem with that. Maybe. I agree with you. This guy deserves his due process. He can appeal. He can test the B samples. He can do all these things. Pretty tough to give this particular cat the benefit of the doubt, though, isn't it? I ran down the rap sheet. DUI, hit and run, already tested positive, and had a 1-year ban. And on and on and on. And remember, Daniel Cormier, I'm going to reset this. Daniel Cormier came on this show right before the fight, and we talked about whether or not Jones was still on something. This was already a conversation. So yeah, it does defy all logic. I agree with you. Why the hell would that guy do that? more gifted than anybody who's ever been in the sport, already served a one-year ban. I agree. At Talk MMA, why the hell would he do it? I don't know the answer to it, but it sure looks like he did. 1-800-636-8686. In terms of basketball, I didn't finish that Cavs thought, so let me do that right now. You've got their side of the deal. It's a truly crazy move for Cleveland. So they let go of their elite GM. He got them to three straight finals and a title. They trade an elite guard who got them to three straight finals and a title. And yet, I got to say, I don't hate that deal for the Cavs. In fact, I like it. I like it a lot, and I'm impressed by it. I mean, once it leaked out that Kyrie wanted out, the Cavs really did not have very much leverage. In fact, none. And yet somehow, with their backs against the wall and not wanting to go into the regular season with all those trade rumors and LeBron leaving rumors hanging over that team, they come out of this deal with an all-star, a high-end defender, a young big in Zizic, and the Nets' 2018 unprotected first-round pick. Now, Isaiah Thomas doesn't have the name value that Kyrie does. Isaiah Thomas isn't even the player that Kyrie is, but his production is not that much different. These guys are both forces on the offensive end and on defense. Well, they're both offensive forces, I'll say that. Yeah, Thomas has that hip injury, but the Cavaliers clearly don't seem very worried about that, or the fact that he could be a free agent in a year, or the fact that he wants a max deal. And not only did they somehow get an all-star for an all-star, and then some, but they also gained some flexibility. For instance, if LeBron and Thomas both re-sign, they still have that high first-round pick to go with Kevin Love and C-Town. A high first-round pick that, if Brooklyn's as crappy as they normally are, that could be a top three pick. Now, if both of those guys leave, LeBron and Thomas, they're in a position to start the rebuild. But in the meantime, they stay in the chase for a title. Their defense got better. And if reports are to be believed, so did their chemistry. In fact, I already know their chemistry is better. If Isaiah Thomas and LeBron talk to each other, their chemistry is already better. Now, are they closer to Golden State after this deal than they were before? Probably not. Thomas might have his work cut out for him if he has to try to defend Steph or Klay. But the key thing is, somehow, the Cavaliers traded an all-star guard who wanted out, and they didn't lose that much ground. It's pretty impressive, actually. It's pretty amazing. So there are a lot of words, going back to the top of this thought, there are a lot of words used to describe this trade. And yet, through it all, somehow, Stephen H. Town pick the one word that you can't use. Bohica. I'd say impressive, incredible, even amazing. I wouldn't say Bohica. All right, let's go to the phones. I'm looking for your reaction to any of this. This is an easy day to call, clones. These are incredible stories, easy stories to have takes on. Polarizing figures, transcendent names, big time news. It's an easy day to play. 1-800-636-8686. Let's go to Calgary. Shane. Shane, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing really well, Tim. How are you doing today?
Great. Perfect.
Well, just in response to that thought that why would somebody go through a whole training camp? Why would they? That doesn't make any sense. I don't think he did it. You look back, and I'm going to date myself a little bit here. Go back to 1988. Ben Johnson, on the biggest stage in the world, test positive for steroids. He gets suspended. The suspended is lifted. He's still young enough where he can come back. Within three races of the comeback, he tests positive again. So the rational thought that guy had was there. But when you're dealing with somebody with a ton of stuff on the line, gold medals, huge amounts of money, or somebody with an addiction issue, steroids or otherwise, all thought process, all rational logic falls out the window. So the defense that, well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would he do it? He knows he's going to get tested. All that flies out the window when you're dealing with addictions or huge paydays. So that's not a defense for me.
You got it, Shane. All right, so he answered the question, why would that guy do that? I posed the question, and then this guy tried to turn it around on me at Talk MMA. Tried to turn it around on me and say, right, Rome, why would he do it? There's no reason why he would do it, so therefore he probably didn't do it. Yeah, I don't agree with that at all. Why would he do it? And I can answer my own question in a number of different ways. Why would he do it? He's not that bright. Or he's extremely arrogant, or he's got self-doubt. He doesn't think that he can win without it. Or, and Daniel Cormier, I'll reset this later on. Cormier and I talked about this on this show prior to the fight. Guys that do it for a reason. You know why guys do roids? That's why it used to piss me off so much back in the day in Major League Baseball. Whenever the topic of roids came up, and especially during the roid era, lots of players would say things like, oh yeah, really? So why don't you go into a Gold's gym and pull a guy out of the gym and put him in a batter's box and let's see if they can play Major League Baseball? That was never the point. That's not what roids do. Roids work. Roids work or guys wouldn't use them. You can't take a non-player and make them a great player, but I'll tell you what roids can do. If you're already a pro and you're a good pro, they'll make you a great pro. And if you're already a great pro, they'll make you a Hall of Famer. And if you're already a Hall of Famer in the case of, say, Barry Bonds, they'll make you the best ever. They work. Guys wouldn't use them if they didn't work. So going back to John Jones and any other athlete, if you're on them, they do make you feel like you're superhuman, that you have that edge. And that edge is really powerful. And then when you come off them, you no longer have that edge. And that also is really powerful. Maybe he felt like he had to have that edge. Maybe he didn't want to come off him. Or maybe he didn't do it. Maybe he really is the most unlucky athlete ever and tested positive twice by accident and fate. And maybe he's just the most unlucky guy in the world. Like crap is just falling out of the sky and it keeps hitting him. He keeps landing on him. Or then again, maybe he did it. If you want to be a conspiracy theorist, who do you think framed him? Daniel Cormier, the best guy ever? Doubt that. The UFC? They need him. He's their second biggest name behind Conor. Doubt that. Somebody who hated him? I mean, maybe. It's so far-fetched, though, especially the guy we're dealing with. Not a good dude. Not a good rap sheet. At Drew in West LA, you tell me, do you think the guy did it or not? Do you really think this guy did not do that? I'm not saying he did. I'm saying it's very, very hard to believe that he didn't, given who he is and his track record. At Drew West LA tweets, John Jones is a cheater. Yours, chiropractors that call themselves doctor. Hey, be careful, Drew. I incurred their wrath a long time ago. All those guys with their bent pens and their skeletons on wheels, giving away their free exams in the mall. I mean, I fought that fight a long time ago, Drew. You can go ahead and fight that fight right now if you want. 1997 college, Drew. They want their take back. At John in KC tweets, nothing wrong with a GED. Signed the 13th grade. Oh, junior college smack. Again, serves a very useful purpose. Maybe you can't afford to go to the university and you want to go the junior college route. Save a little money, then transfer. Maybe you can't get into the school your first choice. Want to go the junior college route. Keep your grades up, then make that move. 13th grade smack. All right, still ahead. I want to talk about Daniel Cormier and his reaction to it. Yeah, but I'm glad. I'm glad that some of you think that John Jones didn't do it and think that the fix is in, somebody set him up, or whatever conspiracy theory you want to spit out there, go right ahead. I'm here to hear them all. Josh Allen coming up next hour. And you want to do it next hour because the third hour is backloaded. You're in the jungle. I'm Jim Rome. This is CBS Sports Radio.